Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back for another episode of the Startup Hustle. This is your host today, Matt Watson. Today, we're going to be talking about video marketing and AI. We have the founder and CEO with us today, Vikram Chalana, and his company, Pictory. I was just playing around with it before we started the podcast today, and it's pretty cool. It automatically created some videos for me with AI. It's pretty cool stuff. So we're going to talk all about his company and his entrepreneurship journey here. Before we get started, I do want to remind everybody that today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io, which is our company. Hiring software developers is difficult, but Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably. We have the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Vikram, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Matt. It's great to be here. Thank you.
I'm excited to learn more about your product. It looked pretty cool. I went in and it had a bunch of different options, and I just put my blog post URL in there, and then magically I got a video out of it. So it was pretty cool stuff. But before we talk about that, I'd love to learn a little more about your journey before. And were you an entrepreneur before, or is Pictory your first leap into entrepreneurship?
No, this is my third time around. So I'm what they call a serial entrepreneur. And
It's a disease. Once you start, you can't stop.
That is right. That's exactly right. I actually compare it. There's this famous meme, the hero's journey, right? So I compare the entrepreneur's journey to a hero's journey, because you get called into action, then you go into the battlefield, and then you do all kinds of adventures, and then you come back and you can't just sit still anymore. You have got to do that again. So we have like sixth or seventh Star Wars because of that same reason.
I don't know. I feel like we get the shit kicked out of us along the way, and for some reason we come back for more. I don't understand. So what did you do before this?
So my startup before this was a company that was in the enterprise software space, and we had a tool that connected SAP with Microsoft. So completely different, something very, very IT oriented. But the general theme of all the startups that I've done is the idea of making something that was really hard before, or you needed experts before, and making it easy for non-experts. So in that case, it was, you had to go to your IT team, you had to find your programmers to connect SAP with Microsoft. We allowed Excel users to do that.
Okay.
With Pictory, the journey is like you needed your videographers, designers to create videos, but now you can do it yourself. Any marketer can do it.
So how was it? You were one of the founders, CTO, chairman, it says here, of Wind Shuttle, one of your last companies, for a very long time. How was it jumping into the brand new startup again after a very long time? And I'm sure what felt a little more like the corporate world after all those years, what's it like jumping right back into the startup world?
Yeah, it got to about 350 people, and it was like a corporate world, and I was getting really bored at meetings after meetings and decision making process being very slow, and I really wanted to get my hands ready again. And so after we sold that, I was like, okay, took some time off, and that didn't suit me. My blood pressure rose, and I just couldn't handle it. So I had to get back into something, and this was awesome. I think the two things kind of I recommend any entrepreneur, but also my own learning, redoing it again. Coming into a new field, I didn't know anything about videos coming in. I knew something about AI. I'd done that before, but I didn't know anything about videos. So there were two advantages I felt I had coming into a brand new field. One was you don't know what's impossible. So that's a huge advantage. You don't know the upper limits of what you can't do. And the second thing is you come in there with a sense of humility and a growth mindset that, hey, I'm going to learn this field. I don't know anything about this. I'm going to figure this out as I go. And so you come in there and you really are able to grow and learn and not have the arrogance about, oh, I've done this before. But because every market is different, every customer different, every product different. So so it really is an advantage to come into anything with that growth mindset.
Well, and that's one of the hard parts of working in the corporate world too, is everybody just wants to do things because that's the way it's always been done. And like, I don't know, you know, so many years ago, somebody decided we can only do this and we can only do that, right? And everybody just keeps doing the same perpetual things. And then somebody like you comes along and you're like, oh, screw all this. Let's try something different. You know, we don't have those limits. We're going to blast past them, right? And then people potentially look at you like you're crazy because you're like, why would you do that? We've always done it this way. But that's the part of the problem of corporate world and being able to go out and just do whatever you want. And there's no limits. And if everybody says no, you can still try it. Maybe you're crazy, but you still try it. And sometimes we're wildly successful, right? So for this new company, did you have some other co-founders, or how did you come up with the original idea? Was there like a certain inspiration for this idea originally, or?
Yeah, both. So I have co-founders. I have two other co-founders in Pictory. One of my co-founders was actually a co-founder with me at Wind Shuttle. So okay. We both started Wind Shuttle together. So that was like, there was a relationship there. Actually, he's my brother. So there was a long-term relationship.
Okay. Yeah.
The second co-founder was also somebody we had worked with at Wind Shuttle. He was one of our first product managers. So it's somebody I really liked. So that was the cool thing about a second time journey is you can go and pick some of the best people you worked with in the past. And you can kind of bring them on. And that's been a fun ride. In the beginning, that was the team that we found was people we'd worked with before. And we found the best ones and convinced them to come work with us. Where we saw the problem and how we kind of thought about this in the very beginning was, so we had this 350-person company, Wind Shuttle. And one of the things I saw was we had only one person who was good at making videos, actually who was trained at making videos. Her job was a designer and she was in marketing, and everybody would be going to her for videos because something has shifted in the last 10 years. We went from text in Twitter to Instagram images to videos on TikTok, right? It just, there's been a shift to videos. And everybody was feeling the shift and everybody wanted videos, whether you're in sales, whether you're in marketing, whether you're in product, HR, everybody wanted videos. So everybody was going to this person and she was getting overloaded. And I would go with video requests to her, but I was like, okay, I have to try and do it myself. And I tried picking up some of the tools. She was the Adobe Premiere user. I picked up Adobe Premiere. I was like, this is too hard, man. Then I picked up Camtasia. Oh my gosh, the timeline. I couldn't deal with timelines. I'm a reasonably smart person. I was like, okay, I should be able to figure it out. And I couldn't. So I was like, there has to be a better way to do videos. And we saw what Canva was doing with design and making anybody into a designer. And we saw all this, the AI. So this was 2019. This was even a long time before ChatGPT. But there was a bunch of AI stuff coming out that looked very promising. So we said, okay, maybe we can do Canva for video with AI in the mix and make it even easier and very very fun as an experience. That's kind of what the journey.
So when you started this in 2019, that was way before, you know, AI AI has been around for a long time, but like generative AI and ChatGPT and all that stuff, it's all the rage over the last year or so. So what was it like trying to do this in 2019, you know, compared to today? Like when you first started doing this, was it much more difficult with the current AI models, or what was that like?
So some of the things we were trying to do then, it was touching the barriers of what was possible in 2019 with AI. And it was like people had said, summarizing text is a hard problem. And there were some papers that I read and I was like, you know, this is not good enough. We tried some of the open source models at that time. We tried some of the latest and the greatest and wasn't good enough, right? Now with ChatGPT, summarization is like table stakes. It's like the best, the easiest.
Crazy, thing. Crazy how it changed.
Yeah. And so it has changed a lot, and you have really good models right now. We have good access to open source tools. We have everything has kind of changed in the last 4 years, and we're trying to incorporate those models into our application as well.
Well, so I guess part of my question is, so your product, say 2 years ago, was there a lot of features and functions it didn't do? And then all of a sudden when ChatGPT came out, you used it to like dramatically improve all that stuff? Or was some of it you were doing before, but maybe not quite as well or whatever? But how did you guys quickly jump on ChatGPT when it came out?
There's two answers, two parts to that answer. That's a good question. So we did have some AI tools. It was just not as good. It's gotten much better. So that's one. The second thing is we're still updating our product to use ChatGPT. So okay. It's still not fully baked in yet. We have some parts of it that use the large language models, some parts that still we're working on. So as an example, the part you just talked about, blogs to videos, it's still using our old blog summarization algorithm.
Okay.
So it's not as good. But if the stuff that'll come in the future, we'll use the LLM-based summarization, and it's going to be much better. But ChatGPT has had a huge impact on our business, and because one of our core use cases is where you can start from script and make a video out of that script. So you started with a blog in your example, but you can just, if you have some story that you want to tell, you can just write that script and create a video from that. So when ChatGPT came out, it reduced the barriers for people to create that script. Because script creation or writing the script, there was people would kind of sit through writer's block about how do I write this? And then some of our customers created these videos that, hey, use ChatGPT to create your video script, put it into Pictory, and create a video and create a YouTube channel, a faceless YouTube channel this way. And some of those videos went viral, and with like tens of millions of views, and our business just took off since ChatGPT came out and since those videos went viral. So we've grown 10x since ChatGPT came out, which was only about 9 months ago.
Well, and I think my first company was automotive CRM related software, and you know, when 2008, 2009 recession came out, that was actually a huge boom for us. And part of it was everybody moved to digital marketing. So like the whole market shifted that way. And we were just in the right place at the right time. We had done all the hard work up until then. Like we were nobody. And then all of a sudden we were the thing, right? And I feel like there's companies like yours, Jasper, and some others that probably they were doing AI related stuff. Maybe not a lot of people knew who they were. But then ChatGPT kind of created more market, more interest and all that. And you're like, hey, we've been here doing this. We have the solution, right? Like, I'm sure that, you know, the market moved to you in some ways, right? And all of a sudden you're like, hey, we have a product. We have a solution. We're ready to go.
That's exactly right. I mean, and I use that phrase all the time, being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
That was exactly it. So it's luck, call it whatever. You were ready by then, and and so it was. Yeah, it's been a good ride.
Well, and I'm sure you have other competitors out there that are maybe trying to do the same things, but you're 4 years ahead of them, right? Like they're trying to start from scratch, and that's the point. Is like you were ready for that big influx, and kudos to you for seeing the future. You know, 3 years ahead of where ChatGPT came out. So
yeah, it's luck. I mean, I still think the problem is unsolved. That problem of videos in content marketing, using making videos easy, that's still like we still have a journey ahead of us.
Yeah. So what are some of the most common use cases that people use your product for?
Yeah. So I think the big one is for content marketing, right? Any company these days, like if you're not doing paid marketing, which many people are, you're going to rely on building your content SEO and driving traffic to your website in that way. So content marketing involves a lot of writing, a lot of written content, but we are saying you should add videos to your content marketing too. So whether you're writing a blog, I have a video in there. Whether you're creating social media posts, add videos in there. So make video a key part of your content marketing strategy. And that's one. Those are two core use cases, right? You can take a script, convert that to a video. You can take a blog, convert that to a video, add the video to the blog page, and you have something. So that's two use cases. The third one is where you might have a recorded content. So a lot of people have webinars that they record, or like this podcast, yeah. Video podcasts they record. And we can start with that. We can help make the editing of the podcast or the video webinar very easy. We use AI, we transcribe the webinar, and then you can use text to edit the webinar.
Okay.
You've probably seen tools like Descript and yes. and just makes it very easy. So we have similar things. And we've also added AI capabilities to summarize that in. So you say, okay, 45-minute podcast that we recorded, can you create a 5-minute trailer of it? And we pick out the best 5 minutes in that. And again, using LLMs, using AI to kind of help filter out the best 5 minutes of that podcast.
And the output
is a video.
So it would be the snippets of you and I in our video right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
You just might have got a customer. How much am I going to have to pay you for that?
It's not that expensive. It's not that expensive. Yeah.
Well, look out, everybody. That might be the future of the Startup Hustle podcast right there. We need an easy way to do that. That would be phenomenal. I'm excited now. I learned something new today.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And so again, going back, like that could be anybody, right? I mean, you're a podcaster, you're a professor, you're creating a lot of videos. But most companies are sitting on a lot of videos. They have a lot of thought leadership content that they've created that they just haven't figured out how to repurpose it yet. And this gives you a way to repurpose it for social. Oh yeah, for YouTube, that's the other thing that is underutilized in the business world is YouTube. YouTube is the second biggest search engine, and businesses don't use it that much. Every business should have a YouTube channel and use Pictory or other tools to create content for that. Just keep feeding content into the YouTube channel. You're going to get new traffic to your website.
I love it. And YouTube has always been a little bit of a mystery to me. I've tried doing some stuff with YouTube and I get like zero views. like a lot of this stuff, you've got to put a lot of effort into it. And you know, if your platform can more easily help create those videos and create, you know, something that people will watch and quality content out of it, that would be awesome. Like being able to automatically edit this and then distill it down to something would be super, super valuable. Well, I do want to remind everybody that finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and see what developers are available to join your team today. That's our company. Be sure to check it out, fullscale.io. So, you know, Vikram, you used to be a CTO. Do you do any software development anymore?
No, it's been a while that I wrote code, but I don't miss it. I mean, at different scales, different stages of a company, you do different things.
And yeah.
Right now I'm in the company building phase.
So are you still involved in the technology at all, the product side of it? Like you still, going back maybe to the old days of like trying to be somewhat involved, or are you just totally?
I'm always involved. I think,
okay.
I would say now it's more chief test officer.
Product. It's more product, right?
New releases and making sure that the product features are how customers want it. So, because I talk to a lot of customers and
yeah,
that feedback to the team. Yeah.
It's like being the head chef that's still got to taste test things every once in a while, right? You're like, exactly. Okay, I got all these great chefs in the kitchen, but I still got to make sure they did it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in charge of product, you end up inevitably being in charge of QA because you're the final the final approval of this thing.
Yeah, the say off. Yeah, sign off.
So when you started this new company, how did you build your development team? Were it part of your team developers, or you just hire developers, or how did you do that part of it?
So some of the people we brought on the team were people we worked with in the past. These were our great engineers from our Windshuttle days. So we hired them and brought them on. But then we, in early stages, we brought on some consultants to help build some the MVP and stuff. And then we started hiring our own team. Now we have engineering team in India, in the US. It's a mix of locations.
And, okay.
But yeah, it's a big part of all the managers' jobs. So my CTO spends a lot of time in hiring and finding the right engineers and designers, QA people, all the roles.
Well, I imagine hiring AI talent, especially 4 years ago, was super difficult. I mean, today it's a little easier if you're using ChatGPT's API and whatever. I feel like that's the easy button compared to what you had to do 4 years ago.
Yeah, if you want AI talent today, it's a challenge. I mean, we're in Seattle, so it's really hot here, the market, and everybody's, Microsoft wants all that talent and Amazon wants all that talent. But yeah. Fortunately, because of the slowdown a little bit earlier this year, we are able to recruit some good people here.
So are you guys remote, or your office in the Washington area there?
No, we're fully remote, and it's a decision we made very early on, which has enabled us to kind of hire people all over the globe.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about interviewing a customer success head in Ukraine tomorrow, and we have a product manager in Nigeria. We've kind of been able to find talent everywhere in the world.
Well, and as you can imagine, from like our company, Full Scale, we have 300 employees in the Philippines, and I have to remind people all the time, especially in IT, 90% of software developers are not in the United States. And so, you know, if you're only hiring United States, you're greatly narrowing the talent pool. So. It's definitely a global market, and I'm sure a product like yours is probably used globally too, right? You probably have customers outside the US.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have half our customers are outside the US. So yeah. And absolutely. And half our team is outside the US too. So it's the nature of the world, small multinationals.
Yeah. So my previous, SaaS company that I started was called Stackify, and we had customers in like 60 different countries, and it was always super amazing just to learn what our customers did. You know, it'd be like the largest, real estate website in South Africa, or a bike rental service in Brazil, or whatever. It'd be like all these weird companies. And I just always loved the stories of all the different companies, what they did from all around the world. I just, always thought it was fascinating. So
did you localize the product? Did you have different languages?
No, we didn't, because our customer base, was software developers who almost always are fluent in English. We did notice there was a few countries, like I think it was like Spain and France and a few others where even there, the developers were not as fluent in English in certain countries. But we had customers all over the place, and mostly where English was even, more prevalent. But it's, English is usually the language of IT. So for us.
Yeah.
How do you guys deal with that?
Also, Yeah, our product is today English only, but okay. We do get a lot of requests because, as I mentioned, customers are everywhere. So not necessarily the UI, but they want to see languages that are narration languages being in different in different languages. Right now it's only English, or even our AI summarization that I talked about, or we have a search which searches through the stock content. All that they want to be able to work in multiple languages, and we haven't enabled it yet. So, but it's coming.
Well, and you have some markets around the world like the Philippines where, you know, they also mostly speak English, or it's, you know, their own flavor, broken English, mix of English and their local dialect, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of people around the world that probably use the tool in all these weird ways you don't even know.
Yeah, no, we are always surprised. Yeah. I saw somebody posting videos on our community page of Persian videos. So they obviously recorded their own voiceover in Persian, and they had and of course they can type the script in Persian, so the captions were showing in Persian.
Yeah.
And they had created a video for them.
Well, back to your original use case, right? It's like, how do we make it easy to make videos, even if the generative AI doesn't do, you know, quite everything it could do without that language support? But, you know, it sounds like it still works as a video editor for other use cases. So that's awesome.
Exactly.
So what do you, what is the pricing of your product?
The pricing is pretty straightforward. It ranges from about $20 a month to about $100 a month, depending on whether you're getting how many users you got, how many videos you want. And those are the two main factors. And it's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
And yeah, we have a lot of customers in that they'll buy our premium plan. That's our most popular one, which is about $40 a month.
Have you had any crazy customers yet that come in and try and use like your product to do a million videos and some kind of crazy stuff like that? Have you run into that yet?
In the beginning, we had unlimited number of videos, and we did see that. And that just caused our AWS bills to just spike up. And so then we had to put a limit on the number of videos that people can do on every plan. So yes, so every system will get abused in one way or the other.
Oh yes. I always say somebody ruins it for everybody, right? It's like that's with everything in life. Like everybody can wear flip-flops at work until somebody trips down the stairs wearing flip-flops and are like, no more flip-flops at work, right? Like that is that's always the way it works. And especially tools like yours, you get somebody that thinks they're like, I'm going to flood YouTube with all these videos and be a billionaire by using your tool to create all these videos or whatever. Like somebody has some crazy idea. So
And with ChatGPT that became easier, and that was kind of one of the things I was worried about is like all the spammy videos that people create. They don't have anything to tell, but they'll just like use ChatGPT to write a script. And fortunately we didn't see that happen, but I'm sure a lot of people tried it. And YouTube is also smart to filter it out and not monetize those videos.
Yeah, so there's some pretty inventive almost sort of crazy people out there that do these different things. So, what other tips do you have out there for people that, in regards to video marketing, like, you know, thinking, oh, I should be doing video marketing. How could I use video marketing? Do you have any tips around video marketing and needing to jump on the train for that?
Yeah. So I think the main thing, as I mentioned is getting started. Think about, so I talk about this idea of high frequency videos versus high fidelity videos. So we often get stuck in this idea that, hey, if you're going to create a video, you have to get a crew and recording stuff and actors and all that stuff. And that's what people think of when they think of videos. But there's many ways to create video. And the important thing is to create them at a good frequency. So you talked about your YouTube channel and how you weren't getting enough views. But I think the trick is just to keep doing it over and over again, right? Often enough. In social media, the same thing. I mean, if you post something on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, the likelihood that I'll see it if I'm connected to you is actually very low. It's like 5% of your posts may be seen by 5% of your followers may see a single post that you make. And so the key again is frequency. Just keep posting stuff at high frequency, and it will get seen by people you're connected to.
Well, and all the platforms do that because they don't want you to get exhausted by a certain person, right? Like, I don't want to log into TikTok or Facebook or whatever it is, and every single day, my whole feed is nothing but your content, right? Like, yep. People want variety and to keep them coming back. So that's one of the things that, you know, TikTok mastered, and why TikTok, you know, has become so big is they mastered that algorithm of, you know, a creator like us could go create that video and potentially get thousands of views, versus if you post on Instagram, it'll only show to your 100 friends. So at most you're going to get like 20 views or something. You have like a very small market. So that was the big game changer for TikTok, right? Is, you know, anybody all of a sudden could get a much broader audience. And the videos that I did, that's what I saw. On YouTube, I'd get almost no views, but on TikTok, I got lots of views. And on Instagram's Reels, I got some. Yeah. But it's those algorithms, the newer algorithms that are pushing like new and unique content to people, really helps. And it seems to find the right, you know, fan base eventually. So,
and which is kind of my other tip. I mean, you gave this tip, but it's try different channels, right? That's the other thing. It's like your videos may work really well on one channel and not so well on another channel, but try multiple channels, post your videos on all of them, and then follow the successes.
Well, and that's part of the challenge with video marketing too, right? Is you've got content that you could be doing that's kind of top of the funnel awareness, but then maybe you post that on TikTok or something, but then maybe on Instagram or LinkedIn, it's a little more middle bottom of the funnel maybe. And maybe you create almost different content for those that is different from what I saw from my experience.
Yeah, and YouTube maybe for like training videos and stuff like that for your customers after they become a customer, and they might. So yeah, different channels will have different types of content depending on the business you're in. But yeah, I think and the other key advice is repurpose, right? Repurpose as much as possible. So take that long video, make short out of it. Take the blog, create video out of it. Just repurpose your content.
Well, we do this podcast 4 days a week, 5 days a week, sometimes 4 or 5 days a week. And it's a lot of content, you know, video every day like this. And we don't do the best job of repurposing it. That's something we need to do a better job of. So I'm actually really excited to try your guys' product for the video part of that. How long of a video can you upload? Can you upload an hour long video?
Oh yeah. You can upload about up to two hour long videos.
So can I upload like a Hollywood movie and it gives me the recap of the movie?
I haven't tried a movie yet, but that was not the use case. The use case was more webinars and podcasts and stuff.
You never know. I told you people are crazy. Somebody like me is going to be like, I'm uploading all the Star Wars movies. Let's see what it does.
But it works best with spoken content. Movies have a lot of like
gaps
and music and pauses and stuff, so it may not be awesome for that. But in a setting like this where we're talking, there's a lot of spoken content and there's a lot of material for the AI to tune into.
Well, that is awesome, man. I do remind everybody, if you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, FullScale can help. We have the platform and the people to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit FullScale, all you need to do is answer a few questions and let our platform match you up with our fully vetted, highly experienced team of engineers. At FullScale, we specialize in building a long-term team that works only for you. Well, as we start to round out the show today, I'm curious, do you have any other tips as a serial entrepreneur? What are the kind of tips you have for those that are listening out there?
I think the biggest thing, and I like, there are two schools of thought on this about launching products and building companies. One is, you know, you only get one shot. That's the one school of thought. Another school of thought is launch often and early. And I'm on the side of launch often and launch early. If you're not embarrassed by the first version of the product you've launched, you waited too long. And so that's kind of my general philosophy in building companies is products don't get built in the lab, they get built in the market. So just get it out there, just get your feedback from the customers, improve, iterate. And that's, I mean, that's my, there's no rocket science to it. This is, people have talked about it in Lean Startup and other books, and just that's the advice. That's the one parting thought for you here.
Well, and one thing I always say is you need to focus on being best known, not having the best product, you know, and it's easy to be in the lab and you're like trying to have the best product there is and you never go tell anybody about it, right? And so eventually you've got to get out of that mode and be like, the job is to go tell everyone there is about it, and then we'll fix the shit that needs to be fixed along the way, right? We got to focus on telling everybody.
That's, you know? That's it. And perfect can become the enemy of good. There's so many sayings about this, but yeah, that's exactly it.
Did you have any of those moments with your new company where once you launch, you're like, oh, we're getting a lot of this feedback and we, you know, had to make some changes. Did you have some of those moments
all the
along
time,
the way?
We still have it. It's we're still improving the product. I'm still embarrassed about parts of the product. Like this can still use a lot of improvement. So yeah. And we've had like phases of growth where we suddenly acquired a lot of users and we got a lot of feedback, and then we had to spend a bunch of time fixing things. And then by the time we stabilized, we got another growth phase. And then, so we've had multiple rounds of it in the last couple of years.
Well, something else I wanted to ask you about that I'm sure is interesting, you know, from your wind shuttle days, you were selling an enterprise product. You probably knew who used SAP, and it was probably pretty easy to identify those clients and go sell to them, versus having a product like this where you're selling for $20 to $100 a month. Like, you can't really afford to have salespeople. So was that the hardest thing for you is figuring out the go-to-market strategy of this company?
It's hard. It was hard because when we started out, we were like, okay, we'll sell to the enterprises. We're going to try and build something for marketing teams that will try to go to larger companies. And that's the approach. That was the first default approach that we took. But we weren't getting traction there because marketing teams at large companies have agency relationships. They have agencies build videos for them. They don't want new tools. Our videos were not like the fit and function that they wanted to see. So we're like, okay, this is not going to work. We have to figure out other channels of going to market. So part of product market fit is also finding the right channel, right?
Yeah.
So we found some good channels. We found that an affiliate channel that works really well to acquire SMB type customers, which is what we have. And so it's iterating until you find the right market for which your product is ready.
Well, can you tell us a little more about that? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening. They're like, oh, I've thought about working with affiliates before. Can you tell us a little more about like how that works for you and why that channel works for you?
Yeah. So actually the first time we launched, when we discovered that this is our market for us was when we launched it on a platform called AppSumo. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
It's where people sell lifetime deals, and there's a lot of people who buy from and look for deals there. And so for marketing technologies, for things that are, you know, lower priced items, it's a great place to build a starting presence and starting market. So we launched it there. It was one of the most successful launches for AppSumo that year, 2021. We went from like 50 paying customers to 5,000 paying customers in a month.
Wow.
And it was, so that was one of those phases where we had to really iterate and improve the product and
scale up the servers.
Exactly. doing that a lot. And then that's when we started tapping into several people who came in and said, hey, we would love to sell your product to our audiences.
Okay.
So we said, okay, this we can try it. So we signed up with an affiliate system that, so we can track all those things.
Okay.
And we were happy to give those people a percent of revenue And it worked. It's worked really well. It's still our biggest channel. Half our business comes through that channel.
Okay.
Through affiliates. And it's almost like an extension of your customers telling other customers. So we even made it very easy that any customer could sign up to become an affiliate and they could tell their friends and get a little bit of discount on it.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate having you on the show today. And it's a great story. I love the product. And I'm definitely going to tell our podcast team, like, hey, we need to look at this thing because it might really help us for what we're trying to do. So.
Awesome. And I have a special offer for the podcast listeners. If they want to try it, I mean, there's a free trial that you can just go and go to pictory.ai and try it. And if you like the product and you want to purchase it, we have a coupon code called podcast25. Podcast all uppercase with 25. You get a 25% discount for life on any of our plans.
Wow. Hold on. I'm going to write this down. Podcast 25. Okay. Any other parting thoughts before we wrap up the show?
I think because your listeners are startup people, entrepreneurs, the one thing I love, the one phrase that I co-opted from Nike because I really like it, the just do it. Just do it. Sometimes we just let so many things get in the way of doing things. And in the startup world, it's more important than anywhere else.
All right. Well, again, everybody, this was Vikram Shalana and his company is pictory.ai. That's pictory.ai. Check it out. Go make some cool videos. I love it.
Awesome. Thank you, Matt.
All right. Thank you.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.